Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is George Valenzuela. He is an education coach, author, and advocate. He has years of experience as a classroom and online teacher, curriculum specialist, and a consultant. His work focuses on improving teacher prep in project-based learning, computational thinking, and computer science integration, STEM education, and equity and SEL integration. George is an adjunct professor at Old Dominion University and the lead coach at Lifelong Learning Defined. His book, Rev Up Robotics, in a Jumpstart Guide, Ready, Set, Robotics, and SEL in Action are available from ISTE. And his next book, which takes a deeper dive into equity and SEL integration framework, is forthcoming from a Solution Tree. Welcome to the podcast, George.
Oh, thank you, Dana. It's a pleasure to be here with you now on the opposite end.
Yeah. So I was on your podcast. We'll talk a little bit about that later on, but I'll start off with the question I start off with everybody. Tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Wow. It's weird because I feel like I'm still in the trenches a little bit. I think that as a teacher, as a business owner, as someone that is in the field of service of others, we're kind of figuring out like how to balance, well, these are my passions, but these are the needs of the people. So how to do that in a way where we're actually helping them. We are making the space of education better, but we're also doing it in a way that is not pretentious. And so I feel like I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a lot about what the needs of people are and how they receive information. And so I consider myself a beginner. I know by looking at my work online from the lens of someone, well, not as myself, I know that I'm not an underdog anymore, but I feel like I have a lot to learn. And so I think that for me in education, one of my first in the trenches stories, or where I knew that I had some work to do, was oversharing with my colleagues. And so, yeah, I was a curriculum specialist in Richmond, Virginia, and I'm still in Richmond, by the way, and out of New York. And anyway, I would get very excited about the work I was doing. I took a very deep dive into STEM education, into computer science, project-based learning, things like that. And so anytime that I learned something new, I would run into someone's office and just unload with everything that I had learned or that I was figuring out. But it really came from a good place. And so what I had to learn is how to hang back and how to let what I'm doing speak for itself. And so now I did that and I'm out of that trench, but now I'm realizing that maybe what you're doing is good for you, but that's not where everybody else is or what they need. And so I'm realizing that, I have another trench I have to get out of. And so I'm working on that now.
Well, I mean, as educators, we're lifelong learners, right? And we're always finding things. And I resonate with that. Like I get really pumped up about things and, you know, your colleague next door might not really care, right? So that's the thing, right? Like when you said that, like I've been in that boat and it's just like, you want to tell somebody right away about whatever you've learned or, you know, something that's going on. So, yeah, but that, I think that's something that both of us, you know, use social media for. You're very active on Twitter and, you know, Facebook, and a lot of the things that you do in your work. I think that's that kind of platform that we might not, somebody we work with, you know, in person, we might not be able to share that with, but, you know, getting those articles and readings out on social media is good. So, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about just some of the ISTE articles. I'll link in the show notes, but you wrote about equity, the equity framework, activating equity, some of your research. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about SEL and equity integration and how educators are needing to weave this more in today more than ever.
Yeah. And so, you know that in the United States, mm-hmm. Not just in education, but in pop culture, equity is like the big, topic, right? And so, rightly so. But I don't think that a lot of times in terms of education, mm-hmm. that we fully understand how to raise equity or advance equity. And so when we're thinking about social emotional learning, which everything's in emotions, mm-hmm. Castle or the collaborative for academic and social emotional learning, they've led that research over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so they framed it really, really nicely that SEL helps to advance equity because it's not just an emotional intervention, it's an academic one, mm-hmm. where we help young people in managing emotions so they can get back to the business of the day, which in our context, it's school, but also in a social aspect, in a decision-making aspect. And so the thing is that equity, in my opinion, looks or should look very different in every classroom. Mm-hmm. And it really should really depend on the context of who's in my classroom. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, I know that in your world, trauma-informed teaching is a big deal, mm-hmm. or I'm sorry, it's very important to you. And so if I'm teaching young people that have trauma, then my equity raiser now is to be trauma-informed. Mm-hmm. If I am teaching young people from a different background or a different culture than mine, so my equity raiser for them now is to be culturally responsive. And mm-hmm. so I have to learn about that. If I'm living in a time where a George Floyd happens, mm-hmm. then I have to raise equity now in social justice. And so I just think that educators need to understand that, but also upgrade their SEL plan with whatever their equity raisers are, mm-hmm. by looping back to the emotions of the day and figuring out what is important to my community. Mm-hmm. and to my students, and what is it that they need? And so that really loops back to what I said in the beginning about being in the trench and just being able to know what the pain points are for educators, mm-hmm. In my context, and then helping them improve there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like how you're kind of like reiterating that fact that we really need to know more about that specific lens that we're working on. Cause right now we have all these, culturally responsive teaching, equity, yeah. social emotional learning, right? So we'd really need to focus on that one thing, right? And not try to like hit all the targets at once, I think. And, a lot of PD is being done right this past year. And then now as we're starting the 21-22 school year, but I wanted to talk a little bit about your PD because you have been traveling a lot over the summer, and the PD that you've been giving in the summer mostly focused on SEL through the equity lens, or is this taking a different approach?
Yeah. So
what are the needs kind of, as you said, a lot of the schools have?
Right. So right now is SEL, uh-huh. in some of the context that I'm working, they mm-hmm. want to raise equity as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that's examining their own beliefs and how they're setting culture and climate and policy in the buildings. And so that's more like a whole school approach. Mm-hmm. But then in other contexts, I'm doing some DEI work on diversity, equity, and inclusion work. And so I'm making sure that they're weaving that into their SEL plan as well. Mm-hmm. And so those two workshops are really popular right now. But the other one that I can't really get away from is PBL, is project-based learning. Mm-hmm. innovation, deeper learning, mm-hmm. real-world task. Schools want this. And so we saw an increase and PBL, not in the beginning of the pandemic, but, you know, after a little while, schools were just like, hey, we want to do work that is meaningful. And so schools started doing it virtually. And so naturally, me being a national faculty of PBL Works, and also I have my own company, I just recentered everything. And instead of thinking about engagement for teachers in the context of, you know, desks and working in groups, we just use breakout rooms and we use Nearpod and Pear Deck so they can interact with our presentation and make their own artifacts or their own synthesis. And so I've really enjoyed that. It's kept me really, really busy every week since I'd say May. And before that, as you know, at least 2-3 times a month. And so,
So I read in your article about you that you were in the classroom for a while, and then they were trying to get you out of the classroom to work more with PBL. And what kind of convinced you to leave the classroom? Because you had a lot of expertise just in this area and, you know, kind of becoming more of the speaker slash just working with curriculum, working with districts. So, but you were resistant for a while.
Yeah, that was not planned. I wanted...
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
To be a teacher, and I was a teacher, and then I got my admin license. And as I did the internship, I just realized I don't want to do that. I don't want to do cafeteria duty, bus duty, you know, referrals. I want to work with young people. I want to inspire them and help them in their STEM projects. Well, I was asked about, I'm doing an admin job as a curriculum specialist and now being responsible for other STEM teachers. And at first I resisted, but then I just did simple math. If I have 150 students, and now I'm responsible for 40 teachers who also have 150 students. That's a way bigger impact. And so I started doing that and I got into PBL because I realized that as an administrator, I was asking my teachers to do something that I didn't fully understand myself. And so I had an interest in not doing that. And so I traveled to the West Coast and I joined an organization called Buck Institute for Education, now known as PBL Works. And I became a master teacher, not just in project-based learning, but all facets of instruction, experiential learning, instructional design, how to plan lessons slash projects, and then how to facilitate them as an expert. And so that led me to writing about my experiences and being booked all of the time. And from there, it just grew. I didn't plan it that way. Like my ultimate goal was just to be busy and to be helping teachers. That was it. But I didn't see what, you know, COVID would, you know, bring for me.
And so this kind of like really exploded during COVID for people to have you in virtually and then recently in person and kind of getting that experience, speaking to a large range of audiences, right? Post COVID.
So the net promoter score was pretty high before COVID. So for 7 years, you know, the data said he's engaging, he's knowledgeable, he knows what he's doing. But speaking as a feature speaker is a whole nother thing. And I never really had those opportunities before. And so I know that with organizations like IDEA, TCEA, ISTE, they were giving more practitioners a shot, you know, instead of the, you know, charismatic speaker. And so I already knew that my net promoter score was high, so it would resonate. So it was just a matter of me learning how to present the information now as a speaker. And so even then though, I feel like the most important thing is who's listening and who's watching. You'll see that my presentations or my sessions are a lot like the blogs, where it starts with the research, you know, very little, but enough where someone says, okay, this is research-based, mm-hmm. there's empirical evidence, okay, great. Mm-hmm. I can dive into this. But second is personal insight. Mm-hmm. People need to really know that you're living what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Teachers, especially teachers, we resent it when the PD person, when the speaker is speaking about something that they have no idea what it's like in the trenches. Mm-hmm. And three, actionable steps. You know, I really do believe this, that before anything becomes a mindset, it has to be a framework. Mm-hmm. It has to be a recipe. And so one example that I use in the workshop is this. If I'm in my kitchen, and my kitchen's right here, by the way, mm-hmm. And if I have all the ingredients to make a lasagna, mm-hmm. but I don't have a recipe, I don't have a framework, I'm not going to get very far. Mm-hmm. But once I have one and I use it 4, 5, 6, 7 times, then I become an expert and I can remix it and make it my own. Yeah. And so my workshops are just like the articles, actionable steps. That's like a chapter 4 in a dissertation that mm-hmm. someone can pick up, read, follow, and really replicate not just process, but success. Mm-hmm. And so that has helped me a lot. It resonates with people and it keeps me very busy.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about your doctorate, because we talked about that in the pre-chat. And so you do a lot of research, you've written a lot using, as you said, research-based strategies. Yeah. And but kind of what is your plan right now? And you said you've gotten several chapters written. So
I've got 3 chapters done. So I will start again in December. All the coursework is done. Mm-hmm. My 3 chapters are done. It's just a matter of me now, you know, clearing my schedule. I'm actually working on my ISTE certs right now. So okay. Once that, yeah, I had to take a break because of all the book deals. Like, so you don't know this yet, or you might know it. I have an environmental science in PBL book that I think it's already released. The mm-hmm. ebook is released through ISTE. And okay. I know that the hard copy is coming out this month at some point. And so that, the equity and SEL book through Solution Tree, and just through everything I'm doing, I had to take a judgment call. Mm-hmm. What does the world need from me right now?
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
most important? And so the point of being in a PhD program is to learn how to create knowledge and how to do scholarly service. And so, yeah, I'm doing that right now anyway. So I just said,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's good that you have, you know, part of it written and you've completed your coursework. So it's just sitting down and, you know, setting aside time.
Already done and everything. It's just a matter now of reconvening with the folks that make these decisions and see mm-hmm. what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Going through all the university red tape. let's talk a little bit about your podcast. So you started a podcast, SEL in Action, in July, and yours truly was one of your first guests. and so far you have 4 episodes out. And tell me a little bit about your vision for the show.
Well, so I did not intend on doing the show. I tend to really focus on intentions, mm-hmm. on why I'm doing what I'm doing. And then really refining what I'm doing and being an expert at it, and then helping other people through that expertise, mm-hmm. and just, you know, packaging what my skills and my talents are. And so I appeared on the Learning Unleashed podcast, Carl Hooker, mm-hmm. and on his show, you know, Carl has a great voice and, you know, very intimidating if that's not your thing. Mm-hmm. And when he interviewed me for Rev Up Robotics, I was like, whoa, I was like, you know, I was pretty intimidated. And so I went and worked on it. And when I got re-invited back for SEL in Action, I was ready for him. Mm-hmm. And so I met Errol there, the show producer. Big shout outs to Errol, by the way, Errol St. Clair. And he was like, how would you like to interview Carl? And so I had never done that, but I'm a mm-hmm. firm believer that if someone is asking you to do something, if you're in a situation, it means you're ready. It doesn't mean that you know everything what to do.
Yeah.
You still have to, you know, work on it, but it means that you're ready for this step. And so that's how I let like the, you know, universe guide me, you know? And so I prepared, and to interview him, it took me about half hour. And that's where I used all my research skills and all my, you know, writing abilities. And then I had to work on how I presented. Well, it went well, and Errol offered me a show. And so what I'll say is this, I was ready to do the show, but as far as the vision and the concept and all of those things, I didn't have that expertise. And so we went through a big brainstorming process, and where we came up with the needs of everyone now is SEL, social emotional health. Bottom line, in not just in education, but just in everything. And so the thing about this show, because it has a producer and it is a research-based show, it doesn't have any fluff. And so we only invite folks on the show that either have a PhD, are researchers, or are practitioners that use good, solid frameworks. And so that's why you were invited. After you and I had a conversation, I realized very quickly that you are a true expert, but also a true human being that I knew that our audience would definitely embrace. And so that's why I invited you first. But also, yeah. And so I'm learning about what the needs of the audience is, how to do it with no fluff, and in a way that building up the audience. And yeah, so I'm not sure exactly where it'll go or what the plan is, but it's definitely resonating. I think I'm listening back to the episodes, and it's very well produced. And so I'm very happy with it. And yeah, I'm hoping that through this part of my work now that we can help more people.
Yeah. And I really like how it was edited together. And then you had some like video visuals that went along with some of the clips that I did for that. So I really appreciate that. I appreciate you having me on, and, you know, my chance just is to get on other podcasts and to, you know, tell about some of the ideas I have about different topics, you know, is great for me as well. In addition to having guests on my podcast. So out of everything we talked about today, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
All right. So before we do that, though, I just want to shout out Dr. Ed, who makes all the videos. Dr. Ed is the CEO of AI Parenting. And he's based in Canada, and he does a great job on those videos. And, you know, he had me on his show one day, and he made a video, and I just realized that he took a soundbite and turned it into something beautiful. And so that's all I'm trying to do here is to amplify the voices of our guests, but also provide the listeners a visual that might resonate with them. All right, so a final thought, I think, is to really figure out what makes you happy, whatever that thing is, right? And then become an expert at that thing. And it's going to take time. Malcolm Gladwell, in his book Outliers, he says it takes 10,000 hours, 3 hours a day, 20 hours a week, over 10 years. And so the reason why I say is to find something you like and become an expert at that thing is because if you do, well, it's twofold. If you do something that you like, you'll be happy. I mean, that's just the way it is. People become happy, or joy is derived from doing something you enjoy, something that you're into. But that's in itself, it's selfish. It's for us, right? And so we were put here to help other people. And so I think that if we flip our passion / expertise into a purpose and use it to help other people, then I think that that is the biggest takeaway, I think, from our conversation, my career, my life, you know, is to take what you're good at and use it to help others. And there's someone out there that will want it, and they're looking for it. And so,
And I definitely see how you've kind of done that in your work, like you said, like we've talked about. So great words to end on. Where can people connect with you and find you online?
Yeah, so if you put into Google at George Does PBL, that is George, you'll find me on TikTok, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, on Facebook also. LifelongLearningDefined.com is my website. And yeah, you can find me on there. And just if you Google my name /education, then you'll find it.
Great. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. Have a great rest of your day.
Pleasure to be here.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.